Thanks for joining us for the executive series today. I'm speaking with Paul Smolak, who is the managing director of Pantoro. Paul, it's good to talk to you.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Now, Pantoro is an emerging gold producer. Tell us a little bit about the journey of the organisation to where you are today and what your ambitions are as far as the longer term is concerned.
Yeah, sure. So Nicholson's is a great story where prior to purchasing Nicholson's in 2014, we were solely exploring up in PNG. We recognised that we needed to get into a cash flow situation with the market being in a really tough spot at that stage. So we looked all over the globe for projects that we could develop within our sort of means. Nicholson's came up and was something we were familiar with already. So we acquired it, the first 49%, back in 2014. Over the next 9 months, we did a little bit of confirmatory drilling. We did the feasibility study in-house, permitted the project and financed it with CBA. From there, we started construction in February 15. We poured our first bar of gold in September 15. So it was a very rapid transition from acquisition to development to production. And we did all of that, managing the costs very, very tightly. So our total capital spend for the construction period was about $12 million, which I don't think has been equal to often previously.
Yeah. What allowed you to do that?
Look, there was an existing processing plant on site. It had last operated 13 years before. Primarily it was the skills that we held in-house in being able to develop the project. So I was the only mining engineer within the company for the first 6 months of getting up and operating, and we had some other sort of specialised guys in a very similar position. So we managed the costs very, very tightly, understanding that the market was in a very tough position, and we always took the view that we could make the project much bigger than it was when we acquired it. But we wanted to do that through cash flow rather than going out and doing the traditional big equity raise or big financing and drilling up a massive resource to start with. So we started with a production target of 25 to 30,000 ounces a year. Within about a year, we increased that to between 50 and 55,000 ounces, and we've achieved that that target in this current financial year. We're taking it now from that position up to aiming for 80 to 100,000 ounces a year as a run rate by the end of this year. So the first quarter of next year, the March 19 quarter, we should see that run rate developing. At the same time, we've done something very similar with the resource and reserves where we started with a reserve of about 80,000 ounces. We've tripled it since that time. We're about to put another resource and reserve update out within the next month or so for Nicholson's, and you'll see continuing growth there.
Okay, so you've just had a new sorter installed. Tell us how important that is to.
Yeah, look, the ore sorter is a really exciting development, and it really drives our growth from that sort of 50 to 55,000 ounces up to 80,000 ounces plus. And the way that it works is that it scans the ore prior to hitting the mill, so the mill is currently full within the processing plant. We're removing somewhere between 30 and 50% of the feed that's currently going to the mill as waste.
Yeah.
By removing that waste, we can put additional ore into the mix and increase our overall head grade going into the mill. So
it's a massive increase in efficiency, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is. Our mill feed's been sitting between sort of 7 and 8 grams a tonne since commencement of the mine. We expect to lift that to sort of in the order of 12 to 15 grams per tonne. Putting it into dollar terms, it takes the revenue generation capacity of that plant from circa $80 million a year where it was sitting pre the sorter up to $150, $160 million. So for a project that's had a total cost around $3 million, there's some massive value there.
Indeed. So when you look at the broader picture for the organisation, what's your ambition in terms of fitting into the cohort of Australian gold miners?
Yeah, sure. Look, so first of all, I'd say that on a cost per ounce production basis, we're very much there. We're among the lowest cost producers in Australia, particularly among the underground miners. As you can see, the focus has been very much on getting into that positive cash flow position and growing the production from there. So, you know, ideally you'll see us growing from the current levels up to that 100,000 ounce mark moving forward. You'll see that we've also purchased some properties from outside of our original tenement package around Halls Creek. We've got the only processing plant, gold processing plant within the Kimberley region. So there's no other gold processing plant within 300 kilometres of us. And it really gives us the opportunity to pick up additional mining centres and take them all back to a central processing hub at Nicholson. So I guess, you know, the first stop is to get to that 100,000 ounce mark. We then, you know, in the future want to continue growing that resource base so that we can justify another expansion again from there and really take it to a substantial operation. Obviously outside of there, we're also reviewing other project opportunities. So as you'll appreciate, the competition's pretty hot for gold projects right now, but we still see opportunities like we recognise at Nicholson's, where you've perhaps got a relatively small but attractive proposition at the moment, where we can see real growth opportunities. So they're the sort of two angles that we're taking to continue to grow the company.
Indeed, and so within that conversation, maintaining that focus on costs is really important. How do you do that on an incremental basis as you move forward, given the fact that you've been able to start off from such a favourable position in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So look, you know, our position's moved from absolutely having to bootstrap everything and not necessarily be as efficient as possible in delivering the project early, to now still controlling the cost as tightly as we possibly can, but doing what's sensible for long term rather than survival. So as we move forward, we'll see the total cost per ounce reduce further from where it's been. So it's been sitting in the sort of $1,000 to $1,100 an ounce range. We see that coming into well below $1,000 an ounce as we go forward. We've still got a core team of managers that are very focused on delivering those results, and it's a really important thing for small miners that senior management, the board, are actively involved in directing where the operation's going and ensuring that everything's done with fiscal management in mind.
Indeed. So Paul, there's a reasonably ambitious growth horizon within all of that. How are you going to be delivering on that?
Look, we put a release out today that showed that we're very, very close to commencing development at the Wagtail operation, which will be our second underground mine. So the bulk of our production to date has come from the Nicholson's underground mine. We've had some open pit feed supplementing that. Wagtail we very much see as being a carbon copy of Nicholson's as we go forward. So combining the feed from those two operations, we don't see it as being a particularly large push to get the overall ounce delivery to the processing plant up to the levels that we're planning for. And obviously we've recently announced that we've installed the upgrade capacity with the ore sorter to deal with it from a processing point of view. So I think we're very well positioned for the coming years in terms of that growth, and the additional prospects that we're drilling both around Nicholson's and in the wider tenement packages that we've picked up around the region really position us for that growth.
Indeed. Paul, it's great to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.